That's the problem. Hey, it's Dr. Lisa. It's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. Because I give a shit. How are you guys doing today? You know, it's a tough time of year because we don't get enough light in the atmosphere, and a lot of people get depressed. It's called SAD, S-A-D. You know what I did? I bought one of those lights. That, you know, they have these lights that you can buy. They're not a lot of money. I just plug it in and I turn it on. It actually cheers me up. So anyway, I'm excited. I'm going to tell you about our guest today. We have a real adult in the house, which is very unusual for me. I hope I can handle it. I have known him a long time, and it's somebody I'm very fond of and have a lot of respect for. So I think we'll be okay. I'll tell you about it in a second. But first, I want to tell you about how you should help us out. This is a really, really great radio station. We don't have sponsors. We are not going to have sponsors. We are just interested in delivering what we want to deliver to you. So you could help us out, you know? You could give us like a very small monthly pledge, like really small, like, you know, like a candy bar a day small. Not even that, like $1 a month, just $12 a year is what we're asking for. And to go to, where is the thing? I'm screwing up this. I'm not doing this. I hope Tom's not going to yell at me. I love Tom. Tom, don't yell at me, okay? I'm doing my best. I'm mentally retarded. You know that. So anyway, this is really a promotion for our Patreon campaign, Patreon. So you want to go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. And pledge us like $1 a month, okay? And help keep the station going. We have a lot of great premiums, such as T-shirts, books, mugs. You can even have our studio named after you for a whole year. Can you imagine? You could even make up a name like, you know, something really dirty. I'm not even going to say it. You could make up something really stupid and whatever you like. I'm not going to give you my ideas. You come up with them yourself. Anyway, but you know what? We are doing a lot of genuinely really great stuff for the community, like media education and literacy workshops for local teens. We're going to do new music showcases for Brooklyn bands and live broadcasts of local festivals and events. So those things are really nice, you know. So come on, don't be fucking cheap. Come on. You spend money on a lot of crap. You know it. So this would be worthwhile. So not to belabor that, I'm going to tell you who's on my show today. It's the one and only, a very original man. Give it up for Jim Kempner. Jim?
Yes, Lisa.
Okay, get closer to the mic, Jim.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, we got it. Are you closer to the mic? Close to the mic.
Am I close
he's
enough?
Down, yeah.
There's a sign here that says you don't need to get...
Too close?
Yeah.
Okay, well, find a healthy balance.
Can I
get
make
a,
it,
have a healthy relationship with the mic.
This?
If it makes you feel good, you can rub the desk. It's got some soft thing on it.
And can I move the mic towards me?
I don't know. I don't think you're supposed to touch the mics.
There you go. How's that?
I don't want to get in trouble with Tom.
He's
a big man. Did you see him?
No, did you see? Tom came in and I had a sandwich.
I know.
It was bigger than a Buick on the desk.
I know. I'm already in trouble and I was thinking about it, but I was thinking, is he supposed to eat or not? And then I was like, Jim's like schlepped all the way out here from, you know, Chelsea, and I'm like, and he's starving, and I'm going to, like, start off by saying, no, you can't eat in here. I got caught in the middle there of my own neuroses, really. But, okay, so we're clear on that. I wasn't clear quite because I didn't
have...
Now
you're clear. Yeah, you said
now
I could
I'm
eat,
clear.
And I
thanks
had...
for... And Tom was actually very sweet about it when he brought it up. So...
Yeah,
I'm having a growth. I had a growth experience. Thank you.
Yeah,
that was good. That was very good.
Is there another guest coming?
No. Would you like to have another guest?
No. You said there was an adult coming, and I.
You know. Oh, Jim.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Of course.
Yeah, you're kidding me, right? You're kidding. He's a kidder. Yeah. So I want to tell you, this is I'm just going to like sum you up really in 2 seconds for our audience. So it'll be quicker and efficient. Jim Kempner was somebody who I met originally. He's an art dealer and a gallerist, and I met him at the very beginning of when I made art in the late 90s. I remember I met you at the – because Drew was showing that case.
At
I remember
crazy,
you from that.
You know, downtown art fair.
Yeah, before the – when art fairs were just really fun and much more real and
yeah,
a lot
cheaper.
Yeah, they
gave us a whole floor.
Yeah.
It was free, too.
Yeah,
and
it was great.
We painted the walls. It was crazy.
Oh, that was really fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's when I met you, and we've known each other for a long – so that was 97, 98, something like that. And since that time, Jim and I have had the opportunity to do some different kinds of weird and fun stuff together because Jim – I mean, art-wise, but also mostly much more performance-wise. We have booked Jim on a bunch of shows because Jim is hilarious. Jim actually has a background as a stand-up comic, and he has this web series which is like – I'm not flattering you, Jim. I'm not just saying this because you're in front of me and we're on the air, but without a doubt, the sharpest, funniest – most well done series I'm done now on the art world.
Thank you.
And he uses his gallery. He's got an incredible production team. My very good friend Drew R. Stark, who is the gallery director, is sort of a big part of it, sort of the sidekick to Jim.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jim plays himself and shows the truth behind the art world, which is also very close to my heart. And you've been producing this series for how many years?
Well, we've been filming since before 9/11. So that's it's 15, 16 years.
Wow.
But we've only had we decided to make it into a web series about 4 years ago. So about 4 years ago, we put them into tight little packages, 5 to 10 minutes each. And now we have we're in our fifth season. We have 45 episodes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, the technology has sort of grown into you a bit, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, so – but and I can't – really, I can't encourage you enough to check out The Madness of Art. I mean, it's gotten, like, very serious. Art Press loves it. It's got – I mean, it's the official – to me, it's the official web series about the art world. So – and I think a lot of people would agree with me. How many – like, you must have, like, how many subscribers or followers? You must have, like, thousands, right? A few thousand?
Yeah, we do have thousands. It's hard to say exactly how many. I mean, I can only see how many people watch them.
Yeah.
You know, we –
thousands.
Yeah, thousands, thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on YouTube. The site is themadnessofart.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on Vimeo, and Huffington Post – links us all the time, which is a huge mm-hmm. boost.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah. So it's not hard to find, but it is posted on my site to make it easy for you, my favorite listener. Mm. By the way, you person over there who's listening right now, you are my very favorite listener. Do you hear me? It's you. Yeah, you. You're my favorite. So Jim is here today, and we were sort of chatting about what we could chat about, and we were sort of coming to the conclusion that Jim is a really interesting case because – can I call you Case?
Yeah, that would be very accurate.
Because Jim, at least from, you know – anybody's point of view, and from the outside at least, and I don't know the inner workings, Jim is ridiculously successful. Ridiculously successful. He has a huge corner gallery that he owns on the corner of 10th and 23rd, like prime real estate, like in Chelsea. How long have you had that gallery?
1997. It's just this spring's 19 years. It's
and
insane.
How many billions of square feet? It's like huge.
No, well, it's actually not.
Really?
It's three floors and the sculpture garden, but right. Each floor is only like 600 square feet. I mean, it's the
really?
Whole thing is like, including the sculpture garden, is like 2,000 square feet, which is not tiny.
Yeah,
but
no,
it's not,
no, but it's impressive. You're being, but like people come
no,
up.
No, it's a great
yeah,
building.
And you sell like very expensive work there. And also,
not so expensive.
Some not so expensive work. Like you've sold a few things of mine.
Absolutely. We did that. We had you in the window.
I was so proud, but this is, oh God.
It was actually not, Lisa was in the window. It was amazing.
So anyway, so you show, I mean, you show both, really.
We
heavy
do.
Hitters and.
I mean, we.
Not, and yeah. And yeah, we, you we, call it emerging talent?
Emerging talent. I mean, we represent 15 to 20 artists, mid-career mostly,
mm-hmm.
and also do secondary market. I mean, I started out as a contemporary master print dealer,
mm-hmm.
25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we still dabble in that because
right.
I still love it. Yeah.
Right. But you've done obviously very well at it. And also, Jim is like a really down-to-earth, honest guy. I think you're honest. I've never bought anything from you, but dealing with you, you're like crazy honest. For a dealer, particularly for anybody,
for
but for she particularly.
Had, you had to put that in, didn't you, for a dealer?
No. I didn't mean it that way. I know that came out wrong, yeah. But we know that. Jim is like, you're not the stereotype at all for what people think of as dealers, except maybe, I mean, you do dress well and you seem really adult and everything, like I said. But besides that, it's a great gallery. You should check it out. But the reason is that Jim has a large independent business, by anybody's standards, running a gallery, having your own gallery that's a real business. I mean, it's not like owning the Bank of New York, but it's a business. It's a pretty really, you know, how much is your monthly rent, Jim? Can we ask you?
You can ask me, but I can't say.
You don't want to say, but it's like five figures.
It's a hell of a lot.
Like five.
Five figures, it's absolutely five figures.
It's like, yeah. I mean, we can't, most people listening to this can barely come up with $1,000 to pay their rent. Me too. So, yeah, it's a real business. And you have employees, you've got a lot of responsibility. That's what I'm trying to point out here. You've got to, how many people basically work for you? Two, three,
well, we
four?
We have Drew, mm-hmm. and Sarah is our associate director. Isabel's the office manager. And then we've got a pretty full-time art handler.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arem we just hired full-time also, who's sort of an assistant. So that's, how many is that?
I don't know.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you people out there, my listeners, is that Jim is an adult and has assumed a lot of responsibility and has been doing it for a long time. He's a good example. He's a good example because he's also he's somebody who is making his own creative work that can also handle a lot of responsibility and make it all work, at least to some, well, I mean.
At least on the surface.
Yeah. And he also has, you know, kids and everything else. So shut up and stop complaining. You know, your life is so much easier than Jim's. This is what I'm saying.
Right. Can we get people to donate to the gallery? Like $1 a month? $1 a month. You're going to rename
yeah.
the studio if they $1
yeah.
a
why
month?
Why don't you, why I mean, don't you donate to us? And then we'll rename the studio the Jim Kempner Gal or the Madness of Art Studio, Jim.
For $1 a month, you got it. $1 a month.
This is like the billionaire. I'm going to digress. Like, did you see that last night? He made, I saw that. Yeah, the guy renamed the Met. Never mind.
Oh, you mean, who is that, Coke?
No, okay. I'm talking about a TV show on Showtime, The Billion.
That I haven't gotten to yet.
Okay. So I wanted to talk to Jim. So all this is leading up to, we want to discuss what Jim's life is like, having all this responsibility and how his art, and when I say art, we're talking about his web series. So, but we're using that term generally. So how Jim juggles his web series, which he, by the way, writes, perform. Jim, what do you do in it? Do you get the props too?
The props, usually there's not a lot of props. It's whatever anyone brings.
But, so what do you do? You write it?
I write it, outline it. A lot of times there's an outline more than an actual script, although we have gotten into a few more script-like episodes.
But you don't have – all the ideas are yours. There's no, like, writer's room or anything
No. I mean, I have notebooks, as you can imagine, in the art world. You know, every day I write little notes down. And hopefully the good ones become episodes.
Right. So you're
then,
the...
Yeah, I have someone who films it, although I just lost my film guy for like 3 years, moved on, which is very sad for me.
So might you be looking for a new editor, film?
Well, I have someone now that's actually had helped out in the past, who's also an actor. He plays the police officer in three episodes. He's terrific. He's not really a police officer, but it's where he was.
So he's going. So you have somebody, because I was going to give a shout out, but that post obviously got filled pretty fast. So you write it, you direct it, you star in it, you make it up as you go. A lot of it, and it must be very satisfying for you. Tell us about like what you get out of. We want to understand what it means to you, Jim. Like what does this do for you? Scratch. What creative itch does it scratch? Talk about that.
Yeah, no, it's super important because I guess when I bought a camera however many years ago, maybe it was 16 years ago, and I had, before I had been an art dealer, I had had a number of different careers and lives, including doing some stand-up comedy for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started dealing art, which I love the art world, I love being an art dealer, but I missed that creative side.
Mm-hmm.
And so the camera enabled me to start, you know, I started seeing things that were funny, just started filming and just like going with things. And the first episode we did, by the way, was Tony Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up being a real episode. He walked in. He's a fantastic artist from Chicago. He was also a previous. He's an actor. He's a writer. He's written a few one-man plays that have played in Brooklyn and Chicago.
Oh,
he was an ex-boxer. He's a really talented, crazy great guy. And he walked in. I didn't even know him that well. And I said, Tony, I'm shooting this art comedy. He goes, okay, come on, let's go. And so we just literally filmed for like 20 minutes. The idea was, and this was his idea. He comes in and he makes me buy his art.
I remember this now.
Yes. Because he said when he was younger as an artist, and I'm sure a lot of artists can relate to this, he would walk in feeling very like embarrassed, like quiet, shy. You didn't know how to approach a dealer. And you were like, would you take a look at my work? Would you? And he comes in and he goes, hey, you're going to buy these 5 pieces, okay? No, make it 6 pieces. You're going to like it. I'm going to give you a good deal. And that was the idea. And that's what we did. And I went home that night. I edited it all 20 minutes down to 5 minutes. And that was The Madness of Art. That was the first episode, which is season 1, episode 1.
Wow.
And so it was,
and you did all the editing as well.
I did all the editing for a while. You know, on iMovie. iMovie had come out recently. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Which they've screwed up in the meantime.
They did screw it up.
Yeah, they tried to make it so fancy.
Okay, so it's not just me.
It's not just you.
Okay.
But so what do I get out of it? I mean, it's a very important part of my the gallery.
Or your life. Say your life.
My life.
Your life.
It's a very important part of my life. And the gallery is a big part of my life too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it all is intertwined, and everyone that works at the gallery is into it. And I have people that come into the gallery that'll see me and they'll go, "Oh my God, I didn't know this was a real gallery. They only knew they only knew the madness of art." So, and people come in every week, you know, which is very nice to see that people.
Does
are
it affect
it.
Sales at all?
Yeah, I've lost a few sales.
No, but I mean,
no, I don't. You know what? People ask me that. I don't know. There's no way.
There's no way to tell.
There's no way to really tell. I mean, I don't. I can't look at any specific sales that have come from
right.
it. But I don't think I've lost too many either. So
it's, no, I would.
It's
you know.
Yeah, no. People have a sense of humor,
right?
For the most part,
absolutely.
Yeah. So no, it's great. I mean, it's just it makes all the days more rich, you know. And my life.
Right. And you made it happen,
and
which
it
is
happened.
Cool.
Yes. It's,
How's it going right now? How do you balance? Can you give us, my listeners, the more deadbeat of us, any like hints or like how do you make it all work? It seems overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
To first of all, running that gallery, which I'm very familiar with, seems overwhelming to me, and then also making the work that you make, the series,
yeah.
Like both those things separately seem overwhelming. So how do you manage all of it?
It's great having a great staff, which I do, and so mm-hmm. I'm lucky, super lucky there. And I mean, it doesn't run so smoothly. I mean, it's right now I'm sort of in this I don't know if it's a writer's block. I mean, I'm always writing, but we haven't really filmed in over a month, and it's my fault. I mean, I haven't like gotten the I don't know. I just haven't been able to sort of, you know, get it together recently. Of course, I broke my ankle 8 weeks ago, so
I can use
that as an excuse a little bit.
What happened?
I slipped. I tell people I was like skiing down Mount Everest. No, yeah, I slipped on a wet floor at Joe's coffee shop.
Oh, very classy. That's so classy.
Yeah.
Jim, oh, did you make a scene?
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
I was screaming in the middle of the floor.
Oh, shit.
I mean.
Were you by yourself?
I was by myself.
Oh, shit.
Nobody, by the way, nobody that worked there even came out. I'm not kidding. To see me. I was writhing on the floor. And people that were drinking their coffee helped me. That was very nice, but I it is horrible.
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but
I know,
it's hilarious.
That's really terrible.
Now.
And so.
You're okay. You seem fine.
Yeah,
are you all healed?
I had surgery. I have 6 screws in there.
Oh, God. You had surgery?
And a metal plate. I have a silver plate.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Were you in the hospital, like overnight and
nope.
shit?
Nope. Oh. He gave me incredibly fantastic painkillers.
Oh.
Because everyone else said I'd be there 2 nights. I was out.
Party.
I was never really in any severe pain.
Oh,
after
that's
the surgery.
Good. That must have been. Did you have to get an ambulance or?
You know what? The big dummy here. I didn't even go to the hospital till the next day because I thought I was hoping it was a bad sprain.
Right. Know?
But I knew that I've sprained my ankle before. This was like I was seeing stars. You know, I was like going into.
Oh, that's
post-traumatic stress.
Oh. Well, I'm glad it's healed. So
yeah, well, I got the
pretty
boot on.
Quickly.
Yeah? Yeah.
Well,
it's getting there.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not more serious. I mean, it doesn't sound like fun. So
yeah, anyway, yes.
Were you doing like create? Let's get back to the creative process.
Well, I do have to tell you because this is what's great about the series is that accidents
and
it's also great about art, right? When mm-hmm. accidents happen in art, which is one reason I love Rauschenberg so much, is you know, and John Cage, and mm-hmm. so I broke my ankle and I was at the print fair. It was the week of the print fair that we do every year.
Oh,
so I had a little motorized electric cart I was driving around, and of course, as I'm driving around the print fair with my leg up. Everyone's going, is this the madness of art? Like they didn't even know. They thought it was all like a setup, you know?
Yeah, like a stunt, right.
Right. So, of course, I use that to, and maybe I shouldn't say in advance, but I will because you
spoiler
know,
alert, spoiler alert.
How many people actually listen to this show?
Oh, I don't know. I think there might be one or two.
One or two. Okay. Well, don't you know?
Don't tell anybody.
But
secret between us.
So, I look like some people tell me I look like what artist, Lisa? Can you think of when I have his self portraits in the gallery? They go, "Is that you?"
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know a lot more about art than I do.
Well, Chuck Close, you know.
Oh.
There's because I have the goatee.
Maybe, but I think of you as so much slimmer.
Well, thank you. Yes, and younger too.
And more like.
But there is.
Yeah.
But people do think that. So we decided we took advantage of the accident, and as I'm at
yeah
the
now I
fair,
see it. Mm-hmm. Now I really do see it. I'm surprised I missed that. Yeah.
We filmed. I drove up on my cart with the broken ankle and looking at a Chuck Close self-portrait. And as I'm there, woman comes up to me and says, "I love your art. I am such a big fan. Could you sign my book?" And she gives me a Chuck Close book. So,
oh, Mike.
Yeah.
Too good alert.
It gets better. Then 10 minutes later, I'm at the booth, and Drew goes, "Look who's coming. It's Chuck Close." And he's driving, you know, he's driving his electric wheelchair. So I drive up to him, and we have like this this little, you know, of course, he doesn't know about any of this yet. I actually had spoken to Chuck in the past about being on an episode before he'd ever seen it, but he said,
right,
"Sure, I'll do it." You know, and then when we got closer to it, I sent him a letter, and he had just gotten stung by this fan of his who ended up taking advantage of him and having a show and using his picture and all this stuff, and he was really pissed off.
Hmm.
So he said, "I don't think I want to be on it," you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Yeah, I can understand. So,
yeah,
you know,
sure. So, but you guys hadn't had a face-to-face.
What do you mean?
Had you guys spoken in person? Like, had you hung out?
Well, I would always bump into him at galleries. He's come to the gallery. I did a show that he was in.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, it makes sense that you would know him.
Right,
sure. So
right.
You know him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
But he's aware of the madness of art. That's what we're talking about.
He's
he knows
aware
you.
Of it. I don't know if he's ever seen it. He knows
yeah,
me.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Although you know that he's face blind, right?
It sounds familiar,
it's incredible when I discovered that because Chuck doesn't see faces
at all,
right? In other words, supposedly if someone's face blind, if he went out of his apartment and his wife came around the corner, he wouldn't recognize her. He'd recognize her clothes but not the face.
Interesting.
Isn't that amazing? And so my friend Jonathan Santlofer, an artist and writer, has been friends with Chuck for 30 years or more, and he didn't know that when I told him. He was
you're
like,
kidding.
Oh, no.
So no one really knows that.
Well, a lot of there was an article in New Yorker about the doctor who wrote The Man Who Mistook My
Sachs.
Yeah, who just died. He was also face blind. So there's a whole article.
Oh, that's
about
what
that.
I'm getting, because I've heard of it and that's who I was remembering.
Right.
You're right. He's face blind. I knew that. That's what I knew.
But
when
I told Jonathan, he said he would bump into
Oliver Sacks.
He would bump into Chuck and wave sometime, and Chuck would ignore him, and he was getting paranoid. He was thinking, you know, Chuck's mad at me or doesn't want to see me. And this is someone he's known for 30 years, so.
I'm surprised. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we know that about Chuck. So what was that like? So you guys were like cart to cart?
Yeah, cart to cart, and we just chatted for a little bit,
Did you remark on the carts like right away? Like, did you call that out, or did you just like act like there was no big deal?
Well, I wasn't. What was I going to do? Give him a high five? Hey, look at me! I was very cool.
You didn't say anything.
No, we just chatted. I had one of his pictures in the booth, so I pointed to it, and
he didn't. That's hilarious.
We had a nice little friendly chat.
Mm-hmm.
But we did film it, so we could put that in the episode. But I do have to get
so
his permission.
Great,
yeah.
You film that? That is so. Oh my
God,
that's great.
I know.
You should. Are you thinking? I don't know. If you send it to him, I bet he would. It's got to be hilarious. He's got to have a great sense of humor, I'm sure, right?
Good sense of humor? Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he does.
Send a pretty girl over with it. That'll work.
That's a very smart idea. That's good.
So,
will you bring it over?
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Where were we?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so anyway, that's sort of how the show.
Wow.
You know,
That's a great story. That's a great story. But there's like probably like the, so you have a camera around, like just things, shit happens also.
In the old days, we used to just have the camera and just film immediately. Something was funny, something. Nowadays, we're a little bit more disciplined. We pick a day where we're going to have people come, a sound guy. I mean, the mm-hmm. old days, it was just someone hold the camera with mm-hmm. the microphone. Mm-hmm. That was it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, but now it's – well, the production.
The production's gotten
it's
better.
It's really, really good. It's totally professional.
Yeah.
So let me
– can I tell you one other great story with one of these things? So this – we were filming an episode where Charlie Hewitt, who's the producer and a great friend and one of my artists – comes in the gallery and shows me a Mapplethorpe, gives it to me as a gift, mm-hmm. and you don't see the Mapplethorpe, but it's like my reaction is obviously it's horrifyingly pornographic, like worse than anything you've ever seen, like worse, you know. And so we needed a couple to be in the episode. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that Francesca was going to, when they were looking for something beautiful, she was accidentally going to show them this, you know. So there was a couple, and we said, we're filming this web series. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be in it? And they said, okay. So they we did a couple of takes, and they were pretty good. I mean, it took a little while, and, mm-hmm. you know, we edited it, and, mm-hmm. but, you know, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we bring it out, and they like, oh, my God, this is horrifying. We'll never come, you know, and they leave.
Oh, really?
Anyway, so I thought they looked like they were a married couple. Mm-hmm. About a year later, then I don't see him. I mean, I sent him. I said it was going to be on, but he comes in a year later, and he had seen the episode, and he told me that that they just got married and that was their first date. At the gallery.
No.
And now it's on film for all time. Is that great?
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm glad they got married. Yeah.
That's the experience. That's what's so cool about that's what I like about making art is the experience, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So back to so we were talking about you weren't feeling that motivated or you were happened? Did the accident were things going like pretty smoothly with your you know with the web series before you had the accident?
Well, no, honestly, it was not just the ankle. My video guy left,
mm-hmm,
so that
that's
had
hard.
An impact. And one season had ended, and you know. I was just having trouble getting motivated to, mm-hmm. you know, to, and I want to sort of take it to another level in a way. So mm-hmm. that pressure maybe.
What does that mean, take it to another level?
Well, I mean, the production values are much better, but, and one reason why my video guy left was he wanted, because it was hard to film when it's so much unscripted.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So he wanted scripts. He wanted to really know exactly boom, 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 mm-hmm. boom, which I think is a good idea, and I'm not against that.
Mm-hmm.
But that I was having trouble with.
It's a really different way to work.
Yeah. It's a different way to work.
And also, you're the performer. You're not just the writer. You're the performer. It's a very, very different way to work. I can't work, you know, I don't do well with scripts.
Right.
But,
no,
yeah.
you're a loose cannon.
Totally. No, but I mean, if it's like everybody's got to find the way they work best. But anyway, so you were amenable to that. But so
it's.
Do you feel like he left because of the scripts, that you didn't make scripts? Like, do you feel like it's like your fault that he left? Are you feeling that way?
Yeah.
You are.
Well, I mean, I think he loved the series. He was very dedicated. He really wanted it. He mm-hmm. wants it to be all that it can be, mm-hmm. which I appreciate because I do too.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a stand, you know, that.
It doesn't take much for most creative people. Like, that might have shaken your confidence a little.
Mm.
Do you think?
You're not mistaken.
The thing is that, from what I do and, like, being around so many different versions of creative performers, comedians to theater people to, you know, performance people, blah, blah, blah. Like, everybody finds their own balance of how much formal work how formal it has to be to how undisciplined. And people call it undisciplined, and I don't even want to say it, informal. Mm. Because, you know, like if you take what is considered the more worked out it is, people are going to theoretically take it more seriously. But if you're in touch with your own method of working, sometimes having it, you have to do it the way that you do it. And it may not even be orthodox, but it may just work the best and it may seem like lazy. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it may feel, I'm wondering if you're feeling like he might have made you feel like you were lazy for not having the scripts.
Well, I don't know if I felt lazy, but you know, I didn't disagree. I mean, I'd like to have scripts, and no matter what scripts we have, there's always, you know, improv. I mean, that's the key to the show, I think.
Yeah,
is that it does not feel scripted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if it made me feel lazy. But it did sort of, you know, make me seriously look at how I'm working.
Right. It made you question yourself.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering about is if there's two things that I'm thinking. One is I'm wondering if there's more to the conflict between you and him. Maybe it was more than the scripts. Maybe it was the style of working. And the other thing I'm wondering about is maybe because, I mean, we're all, you know, especially if we're working with somebody, we're, you know, vulnerable to their opinion, critique, you know, voice. If you really are just better without the scripts and that's the way you need to work, but because he was so involved in it, you feel like you needed to, quote unquote, step up to the plate being his plate.
Mm.
And I don't know. What does it feel like to you?
Well, I mean, you know, it wasn't like he was the first one to mention it or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or that I hadn't thought about it.
Right.
Of course, you know. But I'm, you know, I'm unorganized. Let's say
mm-hmm.
I've got sheets and notebooks of ideas and that mm-hmm. I rip out and put together. But it's I want to be more disciplined. I mean, I really want to because I think I'm a good writer.
Yes, there's no question.
But you know, like Huffington Post gave me a blog. That I could write a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And over a year ago.
On the art world?
Yeah, on anything. I mean,
oh,
I guess.
Really?
You know,
wow.
Because I had asked them, because they were always posting Madness of Art, but I said, you want to show all the old episodes? They said, well, no, we can't do that, but you can write a blog and
wow.
then you can, you know, link them.
Mm-hmm.
But in a year, in, I don't know, 3 months, I've only done two columns,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's kind of, you know, disappointing. And I did one when my friend Tom Slaughter died, because I did an episode with Tom and I wrote about Tom,
mm-hmm.
and that was sort of easy. That came out, you know,
mm-hmm.
easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, what the hell was the other one? I can't remember the other. What's the other blog?
Well, we'll look it up. Anyway, well, I'll have my producer go find it and tell you.
Good idea. but that's something I should be doing once a month. You know, it's. But yes, I'm busy. The gallery's busy. It's not like, you know, we've been doing theater at the gallery also, so that's a whole nother.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
We've done Death of a Salesman.
What?
Yeah. We've done Art, Red, Harold Pinter. And we have – see, the problem is there's only like 25 seats. So I don't really advertise it. And we end up – you know, but I've hooked up with some great actors. I've taken some acting classes with Austin Pendleton and Reed Burney, who's an incredible actor. I don't know if you know Reed. He's in The Humans.
No,
right
I don't know. This is real theater, yeah. Harold Pinter and stuff
so
like
we've
that.
Been, and we've discovered that the gallery is a fantastic place to show theater.
Where is it? Is it in the basement?
No, we do it.
Top floor?
We've done two shows on the top floor.
Wow.
Right? And then we did Red and Pinter on the ground floor. So it was like right in on the big picture windows.
Oh,
that was sort of the stage area.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fun when we did Death of the
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And you're in it, obviously.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like my ball.
And so do you you're working with a script, clearly.
Yes. Those are scripts.
And you're comfortable. You enjoy that.
Yeah, I love it. I didn't know I would until actually I did Death of a Salesman. They asked me to be in it, and then we rehearsed at the gallery, and we said, "Hey, why don't we do it here? It'd be really cool, you know." And it was; people loved it.
Wow, that must be great!
Yeah.
I could totally see that happening.
Yeah,
well, I'm surprised. I mean, it's interesting that you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, what I'm thinking about is it's interesting because it's kind of like. There's a script, but it's just not your script.
Yeah.
And you enjoy that.
Yeah. In some ways, I really, you know, I mean, I didn't think that I could ever, because I've got ADD, like half of everybody else, to memorize a script.
Yeah. It seems hard.
I wasn't sure that my brain would work that way. But,
yeah.
But, you know, apparently it does or it can.
It seems like it's hard. That always intimidates me.
Yeah, yeah. But in a way, it's easier in some aspects than improv, only because there if you know the words,
right?
If you're comfortable, once you get to that point,
right.
Then you can really just
focus on the performance.
Yeah, or just on being there, you know. So it's,
right, yeah, you're like you're that person.
Yes.
You're just that person. So, and have you ever done anything like that before?
I did. Actually, I did a play when I was in San Francisco. When I was working for Bed Bath & Beyond back then, and I just started to, to do some comedy. And I decided to try out for a play.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a role. It was at the Rhinoceros Theater, which was the gay theater on Castro Street.
Nice.
That's still there, I think.
Oh.
So it was a new play, and it was about two Jewish men, gay, and their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
What's a mother to do? And they don't know their sons are gay, and the sons, you know, are pretending that they're looking for women. Meanwhile, they're looking for men, and then they fall in love. It was
That's kind great. Did you get to kiss a guy?
Did I what?
Did you get to kiss a man?
Yes, I
really?
Did.
Really? Did you get to, like, really, you know, get
it wasn't,
in there?
No, it was not a passionate kiss. Which would have been a little... I'm sure I would have been.
Oh, you would have handled it.
Oh, I would have handled
it. Did you get to like really like feel your body and his body together though?
It wasn't like it.
Wasn't like
this
that.
This wasn't O Calcutta, at least. I mean, it was a silly sitcom. But my mother came.
Oh,
my mother
God.
Came and I said, Ma, I have to kiss a man. I'm letting you know that, you know? And she was, okay. Do you like him?
Okay, it's okay, Jim. As long as you like him, and he's Jewish, it's
exactly,
fine.
Exactly,
it's fine. So, you haven't really. I mean, this is. I mean, yes, you've done it, but this is kind of a new
yeah,
thing to play with.
Yeah,
right? It's a new toy.
Right, and I, you know, I mean, I didn't really know anything back then or about acting or
This is a new toy and you're like so much more developed as a performer since that time. I mean, you're a very developed performer, I think, you know. I mean,
so it's fun, so it's really exciting. So that's, you know,
so I wonder if that's sort of getting, I mean, maybe like when I'm, I don't know, I'm a little mad at your guy, your video guy, for
he lives right next door.
Okay, good. Why don't we, I wish we could get him in here, and I would tell him myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little mad at him because I'm also angry at my husband right now. He's annoying me, and I'm just projecting it on him. But no, never mind.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's not that interesting. Okay. Not nearly as interesting as this. But I think that, like, you have a very – you've worked out a very natural way of working. And I can see how it's easier for everyone else that works with you if you have a script. I can see that, and I can see that being the preferred way of working and the, like, classic way of working. But I think that maybe that's just not that much fun for you. And I appreciate that. And I think he may have been pushing you into doing something that's not the best way for you to work. Knowing that if you're going to work with other people, yes, you, Jim, have to make compromises and all that. But what's happening, well, what I'm very excited about is this new development, I'm hearing about it for the first time right now with you folks, which may actually be satisfying that creative urge. It may be just way more. I mean, that sounds exciting.
It's very exciting. Charlie's mad at me.
Why? Why?
Because it's taking me a little bit away from Madness of Art, which
exactly, yeah. Jim. You know, like, that's making me think that you you want to make other people happy or not disappoint them or something.
Is that
part of it?
Well,
is that a childhood thing?
Where
did that come? Was that mom or dad? Who fucked you up that way?
Jeez. I've gone to therapy for many years, and it took years to get to that. But you're absolutely right on. That's pretty amazing. That came from. If you want to hear this, it's boring.
Sure. Well, Jim, remember I told you it was going to go fast. We have like 13 minutes.
Okay, wow. Anyway, yeah. No, I mean, I don't think that with the Madness of Art, you know, I'm looking to please other people, you know, so much as I have to please myself in order for the show to be good, right?
Of course.
And so, no, I think that John hit a specific part of me,
mm-hmm.
that I've always known, that, you know, when it comes to writing and you know, being disciplined and
mm-hmm. yeah
you know, it's that.
But you've achieved a lot, so I mean, yes, discipline is great and you've achieved a lot, so you know, you've made it work however, you know, you've worked it out however you've worked it out.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to next year's going to be fantastic.
No, you know, it sounds pretty fantastic right now, frankly. Yeah. But like in reality, he's right. So the question is what's right for you? What's right for you? Like, is it really, do you think that if you resolve your discipline issue that you're going to be better at everything? Like, what do you think? How important is it, do you think?
I think it's pretty important. I think to have a regiment,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm just starting. And mm-hmm. I you know, I've been there before, where I, you know, I just sit down for even if it's a half an hour a day,
mm-hmm.
and write, you mm-hmm. know, even if you know how that mm-hmm. is, right? You just have to sit down and
mm-hmm.
and if nothing comes, nothing comes, but usually something will come.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just I get it. Just showing up. Right. I think you're being like a little like the thing that you said about not getting the Huntington Post stuff done, I mean, that's a great opportunity and all, but that can't possibly be your priority. I mean, forget, don't, no shoulds on that. No shoulds on that, I don't think. You sure. know what I mean? Like, you're like, I should be writing that. But, like, look at all what you're doing, yeah. you know? Like, you can't do everything.
Right. Well, thank you. That's.
So don't worry. Right. Don't worry about the hunting. You know. Don't worry about that. But how do you do all that and keep the gallery running? Is it just really the staff, or
it's magic? It's well, it's a lot. The staff and I don't even know how sometimes, but it just, you know, weeks go into weeks and we have some wonderful shows and, you know, things happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because most people would be happy with the web series, the acting, and job at Cafe Gia. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're taking on a lot. Your parents must have really expected a lot from you. Is that what it was? You have pretty, like, high bar there. Do you think?
No, not really. I did not feel that pressure at all. No.
Really?
Yeah.
So where does it come from, do you think?
Well, I mean, my mother was very supportive of whatever I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, she got divorced when I was like 4 or 5.
Wow,
you know?
That's especially in our day, yeah.
Yeah. And then but then she remarried when I was 9. I mean, I felt, you know, very I didn't know what after college I was going to do. I was, you know, looking for things, and mm-hmm. I was, you know, I was open,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, my mother did have an, you know, the entertainment, and some of the comedy and humor comes from her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was a big, but she wasn't like pushing me.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of, you know, I just pushed myself. I don't know where that came from. I think I need it to pay for another hour.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of creative drive. Maybe now's a good time to just relax and focus on the acting. What do you think? And just say, like, I'm taking a semester off till...
A semester off from the gallery?
No, you can't give up the gallery. The madness of art. Maybe just take... Maybe it's time to, like, you take a step back because you have something that's different, right, that you're doing that's new and fresh. And that's going to get, like, develop you creatively. It's like what they said about my dog. You can't feed the dog the same thing every day. They have to have variety because it only nourishes those nourishments, whatever that – well, you know. And so, like, maybe those same – you're developing those skills, and the same skills are getting developed, but maybe you need to develop – it'll be – like, if you can learn – I think doing someone else's script is just a great way to develop your own script writing. Don't you think so?
I think it is. I mean, I don't
– I mean, you chose Pinter. He's pretty – He wrote a decent script in his day.
Yeah, yeah. We did one acts. They were a lot of fun. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that I need to stop doing. You know, I'm hoping that it will give me some impetus to keep writing.
Mm-hmm. Are you a little bit of a workaholic by nature?
No, I'm definitely not a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can be at times a perfectionist, not always.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that may be mm-hmm. more what it is with the madness of art. You know, it's like I don't want to put it out if it's not
right.
You know, and so that's but not a workaholic. You know, I definitely
you've got yeah, you've got the
enjoy
balance.
Enjoy my time. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, I think you know. I think it sounds like you've gotten to. It sounds like you've grown. You've grown out of. You're growing to the next level, and it's just like, what's that going to be?
It's fun. It's exciting. I'm actually. I was just. I was supposed to do Shakespeare for the first time.
Wow.
In April, I was in Hamlet. I was playing Polonius,
mm-hmm.
and which I never wanted to do because mm-hmm. I never thought I could talk like thou mm-hmm. and thy and blah, you know.
Right. Yeah,
but,
really.
But the actor who I did Red with, mm-hmm. Which was a two-person play, is playing Hamlet. And he asked me to do Polonius, and I said I didn't know if I could do it because of the time. And but once mm-hmm. He had me audition Ophelia's mm-hmm. as Polonius, and the more wow. I read the script, and started to do the lines, they started to make sense, and it was really kind of fun. So,
oh, that's great. Yeah, that's really great. Growth it's all about growth. That's
yeah.
what I think. So you know, we only have 5 minutes left. So you know what I was thinking might be fun. Why don't you tell us about like your favorite. One, you know, or one of your favorites is probably hard episode, and tell us what sure. number and stuff like that, so that the listeners who've been enjoying this can like just go and get a taste of it without having to like
sure.
look for something.
Sure, absolutely. And I have a whole thing
stack of cards
that you can give to whoever pays a dollar a month. Can
oh,
them.
Really?
Yeah, oh,
wow!
Sure. Yeah.
Free postcards, folks.
The other idea actually that Charlie has now is maybe I better not say it. Someone will steal it. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So one of my favorite episodes is the Candy in the Corner episode,
mm-hmm.
Which is a Felix Gonzalez Torres piece, even though we don't mention him by name, is I don't know if you're
explain who he is. Yeah, I know who he is.
He's an artist. One of his pieces is Candy. That you buy in a store, like blue wrapped candy, and it was like 130 pounds of candy, and it's in the corner. Or you can put it in the middle of the floor in a shape of a rectangle.
But it's just it's just candy.
It's
just
candy.
This pile, and it's like pretty to look at because it's sparkly, and
yeah.
it's like why is this art?
And it represents his lover for some reason, and it also is blue, and it's the sea, and it's the sky, and it's in the corner, and it's very beautiful. I mean, it looks cool, and you can actually go and you can eat the candy, and you can. Yes,
I didn't know that.
Oh, sure. That's the great part. Is it's very interactive.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So I think it's a very cool piece. However, you know, it's art. It's definitely art, but is it? You know, what's the value of art? This is this episode.
Mm.
So when he first showed this work in Chelsea, I went to with my sister, and it was $6,500 for the candy. $6,500, and it was an edition of three, which I loved. It had three certificates, so they could sell three different ones. The candy you could buy at Costco, and my sister said, "Are they kidding?" And I said, "You know." Oh, by the way, that's what the Huffington Post article was about, the candy in the corner.
That's so great.
And yes, and so I said, you know what, we should probably buy it. And I was like, you know, half serious because it's a good gallery and it's kind of cool. And it's, you know,
yeah.
We didn't buy it. Just, you know, the
right.
last one just sold at auction for $7.3 million. I'm not joking.
Oh, my
yeah, $7.3 million. So this episode, I have a client who has a $2 million he wants to spend on art, and I take him to the gallery that has it, and I try to explain to him. I said, this, and he's like, "Come on, what are you kidding?" And there's a whole conversation we do about this, and it's hilarious. And do you remember what happens at the end?
No, I don't.
Maybe I should say?
No. Well, I don't know. What season? No, what season is it in?
That's season four.
And what episode?
I think it's the third or fourth episode. It's called Candy in the Corner. So if you go to YouTube and put Candy in the Corner, or if you go to the Madness of Art season.
I'll post it on my Facebook page where I wrote about the show today. And
oh,
so people can just find it there.
I think that I'm expecting your listeners to go out and watch all 45 episodes. Is that not what's going to happen?
You know, a lot of them are unemployed and sitting around.
Perfect.
So maybe, is it okay? Does it matter if they're drugged or drunk, why they're doing
it? Oh, no, that's better.
You think? think? That's like that, they don't need to remember it or anything?
No. If they can share it on Facebook.
But I can tell you, if you donate a dollar or more a month, Jim, they're much more likely to do it.
Okay, well then sign me up, yeah.
That's why I have guests to solicit them.
So I have to pay a dollar per month per listener?
I think that would work well.
I'm willing to buy
$12 a month.
I'm willing to do that.
Okay. Well, we're down to the wire here, Jim.
Really?
I just, yeah. We